Thank you. Are we in? Hello, Bueller. Hopefully, it's just a blue screen. It's no signal. That's the future of web design, that thing there. I don't need slides, fuck it. It's not the first time I've found myself underneath a large organ. Thank you. Been working on that all day. Yes. No one mentioned the organ. Right, so, or maybe some people haven't, I missed it. So, are we?
Yeah, carry on.
Okay, cool. Right, so, I wanted to talk really about how I'm trying to remove a lot of crap out of my life and trying to simplify my life, filter it. I know this is where I really need a slide right now. Oh, there you go. Hey, we're on. Cool. Thank you, sir.
It's all right.
Thank you. Very kind. And this came about from several things. I'm getting old. I'm over 40, Andy Clark, cheeky bastard. I'm 45. And it came about because of this, really. Well, not just because of this, but this was a kind of a key moment. You've probably not heard of May Lee. She is a friend of mine, and she works for a company you might have heard of called Apple. She works on the web design team there. And often, when I'm on the train in the morning and I'm going through fucking Wigan, and I'm trying to forget that I'm going through Wigan. I'm like, we text each other. She's in San Francisco, and it's like late night there. And, you know, we just go, oh, what are you doing, blah, blah, blah. What can you see right now? Look at what you're wearing. No joke. And we do this thing, you know, and I've always found those kind of things interesting, that we're on this planet at the same point in time, but we're seeing different things, blah, blah, blah. So she said, oh, I've got this box in front of me, and it's a pencil case, and it just says, life's too short to own an ugly pencil. And I really like that, because most people don't think about the pencils that they own or the pens that they own. They're just utilitarian objects. But I've become obsessed with finding beautiful things that I use, and I don't mean expensive things, just taking time to find the detail in these things and obsess about, right, that's, I'm going to get rid of the shit, because there's so many wonderful things out there, which is like kind of overwhelming. But there's also a lot of rubbish as well, and you have to kind of filter that out. And for me, I have to be very extreme about that. So much so that I can take it literally and obsess about literally pencils. This is a Dixon Ticonderoga 1388-2. Okay? HB. Made in the USA, these versions, not the Mexico versions. If you can bring a Mexico one in my house, get the fuck out. Right? So, I don't want you in my house. So, these are like the archetypal pencil used in American schools. And whenever, my wife thinks I'm crazy, whenever I see these on telly, like on TV, telly, do you know, no one says telly anymore. When I see these on TV, I was watching Medium, if you watch that, on Living. And I'm not gay, honest. So I was watching Living, which seems to be obsessed with dead things about dead people. But anyway, I was watching that, and there was a character, and there was a school kid, and she was using a Dixon Ticonderoga 1388-2. And I went, that's a Dixon Ticonderoga. My wife was, shut up. It's like, who cares? So I have, at the beginning of the week, I had 36 of these in my drawer, right? On Wednesday, oh no, so Tuesday, I bought another 36 off eBay. I don't need 72 pencils at any one time. But I'm kind of, I just love the packaging and the, yeah, I just have to have them. So this is the, apparently this is the only pencil that Raoul Dahl would use as well. But I'm not a mean man like he was. genius writer though, let's face it. So we can put up with that. So it's from, so I think it's important to obsess about the quality of the tools that we use. That's a good thing, okay? So then I get really angry. So if you read my session description, you was like, what is that talking about at the end? And it's very real. So you want to, you know, you want to sharpen a pencil. You've got a choice, right? You can use a normal pencil sharpener, and I'll come to the best pencil sharpener in the world on the next slide. But I'm not joking. So what does this got to do with web design? I don't know. But so you know, this, or you can buy one of these and you can shove your pencil up a cat's arse. Why would anyone, what? I mean, to me, it's like, why would anyone make this? Right, just, and Elliot spoke about responsibility, and I think as designers, we have to be responsible about the things we make, particularly if we're making physical products as well. I mean, this is just fodder for landfill, and that's bad, you know. But people will go, yeah, but Bren, someone's buying it. Well, they're morons, right? They are morons, right? I mean, no wonder the cat's saying meow. It's got a pencil up its ass. So you've got that choice. Don't care about the tools you use. Or you can use the unfortunately named Cum, K-U-M, right? The Cum Long Point. This pencil sharpener is amazing, right? I've got three of these. I have one in my bag, I have one in my drawer at work, and I have one at home, right? I bought my friend one because she's into pencils and said, you've got to try this. I'm serious, right? And it's got two holes, so you sharpen the wood with one and then you fine-tune the lead with the other. And it's, you have never seen a pencil this sharp with this motherfucker. So it's amazing. £5, you know? So you can either use normal pencil sharpener or you seek out the best pencil sharpener in the world. And all the time, this is teaching you about quality and you know, working with great tools. So, and then, so it's about buying things that will change, help my life, make it easier, and buy things that are solving a problem, making things useful. And then you see things like this, and you think, God, that's a great idea. So, anyone know what this is? Spaghetti measure, right? So, and I have it in my pocket. I don't carry it round, by the way. Don't ask me tonight if you need some spaghetti measuring. It's not what I don't carry this round normally. It's a prop. And Joseph make wonderful products. And I saw this. I thought, God, that's really clever. So, you know, if you're lonely at home, just cooking for you, that represents loneliness. That, right? So, I'm on a date. And then she's brought her mates around. Yes. Okay. So... So, you know, you put your spaghetti in, you get that to the right gauge, and you put your spaghetti in. Perfect, right? It's brilliant, brilliant solution. My only question with it is, you know how many times I've used this? Never, right? Because it's not really a problem I really had in my life. I don't eat spaghetti, what, once every 2-3 months at home? I mean, I don't even cook. So... And my wife wouldn't get it out and use it. So it's like, it's a beautiful thing. It's very clever. But I question whether it's a problem that actually needs to be solved. You know, I'm not at home thinking, God, if only someone would invent a way to properly measure spaghetti. I've got all this stuff left behind. It's like, who cares? It's spaghetti, dude. So, So there's that, and that kind of worries me. And but you know what? I still bloody bought it. Because it was like, wow, this is cool. So, and then, I have the worst tea strainer collection in the world, right? But I also have the most. So these are just four of them. I don't know if you can see that too well. But they're all chuffing useless, all of them. So we've got like this orb one that's got like it's got a bulbous end on it. And that's not bad, to be honest. And it's like for an individual cup. That's not bad. Then you've got this. If the Bauhaus ever made a tea strainer, it would be this one, right? Straight. And it's very, you know, there's no, you know, it's curved, but there's no fuss and it's no nonsense. And it spring-loaded, this thing, right? So I'm in the shop and I'm going, oh, I need another tea strainer. So someone's made a new design for a tea strainer, gotta have it. So you press the end and it's on a spring and you're supposed to put your tea in and then let go. There's no lock, right? So when you get it home, you get it like that and you've got to quickly get the freaking tea in and then you let go and it literally goes everywhere. So someone's designed this who doesn't drink tea. I think they're like a coffee lover who hate people who drink tea. So, true, honest. So my clock isn't counting down, so I'm just going to, you know, keep going forever. I think I'm supposed to press play on this thing. So yeah, it looks nice, completely useless. But what's interesting, I think, about these, I only realised recently that there's something consistent within all the design. They all have holes, you know. And it's interesting that, you know, they all have to do the same thing and they all have to have the kind of same parameters and properties, properties is a better word, in which they have to have holes and the holes have to be at the end. But there's a myriad of different ways to do this. So I kind of still, even though they're pretty much useless, I still get inspired by that. And my wife just thinks, please do not buy any more tea strainers. Paper clips. Right, so paper clips are awesome. Hashtag that, you bastards. Paper clips. All right. So I got this recently, right? I'm a stationery geek. How many stationery geeks in here? Come on. Let's all, come on, admit it. We love stationery. So, I mean, for me, an afternoon in Staples is like going to Disneyland, you know. So, though it is really sad in there, it's very soul-destroying in another way. So, you know, I'm using paper clips and think all paper clips are the same, aren't they? Well, if you subscribe, if you go to radandhungry.com, they have a subscription service for stationery, right? And what they do, they source around the world. They go on these crazy trips to like Colombia and places like this. And they source stationery and you get this parcel and it's got like three Colombian pencils and a weird notepad and a paper. There was one that was a paper clip. It was like this. It was, I don't know what I was clipping with it. It was massive. And then in it was this piece of card. This was just so random. And it was paper clips they'd found around the world. And I thought, God, that's kind of cool because, again, this consistent thing is they're just metal. They're just metal bent into different shapes. But they all have to do the same job and they all work really well. Don't you just love the Japanese one? It's just, if you had to guess, that is Japanese. There's something about it. It's quite quirky. And then Brazil, there's two Brazils. I don't know why there's two Brazils either. It's just like, yeah, weird. So, and Germany is like that. So, you know, you think all paper clips are the same. You've probably not even crossed your mind, to be honest. But, you know, these humble little things that we see every day, you know, there are all these subtle differences going on. And so I'm interested in, you know, like bending metal into different shapes and forms. I've shown this a million times, so I apologize if you're bored to death with it. But the idea of interfaces being different, and this is Flash, kill me, whatever. You know, it's 4 years old. You know what I was doing? I was playing. Ooh, right. So, no one died. We're just playing with this stuff. Get over it. So, this is, you know, a crazy interface about serendipity and bumping into things and madness and chaos. And so you're looking at this thing and you draw a line and then you find other things and then you draw a line from another topic. So we've started at Obama, now we're going from something else, I didn't see that. And then it does it in a very, very chaotic way to just really put a little bit of debate out there and go, not all interfaces have to look the same. We don't have to read the web in a linear way. I'm not saying I want to buy books from Google or from Amazon in this way. That would be a nightmare. But there's something interesting about it. It's okay to put these ideas out there, you know. So that's all. We're just playing with this stuff and see where it leads. Now, that was the idea, to just create a kind of very serendipitous interface that was based on chaos. But then it's all about, it's very much about context. There's a great book called 101 Things I Learned in Architecture School. Really great book. Just different things on every page. And there was a quote in there that said, when you design a door handle, consider the door, which I really love. So it means, you know, when you design something, you've got to consider the wider context. Why are you doing this? And that can be the audience. It can be a physical room. It can be anything. And kind of like that. So I wanted to take this idea and put it on the iPad, and I wanted to teach myself Objective-C. And so along the way of going to make this thing on the iPad, I was trying to get all the data in, and I did it on an iPhone. And so the same idea. So how this thing works is you look for a subject, you then read some articles, and then you can see related subjects connected to that article, and you just go off that way. It's all about relatedness. So that kind of thing, though, on an iPhone isn't going to work. The context is different. It's a smaller screen. You know, it'd be a bit of a nightmare. So this is taking exactly the same data, the same functionality, and wrapping it up in a completely different interface, because the context for this is about iPhone interface, and it's just a list view. And to be honest, I just made this for me. I didn't make it for anyone else. And I think we need to be a bit more selfish occasionally, actually, because when you make something for yourself, you generally put a lot of love in it as well. So this is basically the same idea as the one you just saw, but it's just a totally different front end. So like, if I can make a tenuous connection now with paperclips, like the metal, you know, you think you've seen it all, and the metal is shaped in a paperclip form, you've seen it all before. Well, actually, there's all these other ways you can make paperclips. And so, you know, it becomes, and this is the same kind of thing. So iteration is really, really important as well. And messing about and playing with these things. So I've mentioned this before, but I think it's quite a good example of... I don't just do web design now. I wouldn't ever describe myself ever as a web designer. It's just I happen to have done some web design. But I've also moved into making products. It's what we do now as well. So, and just having the ability to... I just like making things, basically. And having the ability to just have an idea and then try and go, right, we'll just try and make this thing. Because we think that's a problem that needs to be solved. And I highly recommend being naive. Seriously. Because it will get you so far. Then you do need knowledge. But naivety means you don't really know what's going to happen, so you just do it. So this is our product, MoviePeg, and this shows the iteration. You know, this is literally came home one night, made it out of cardboard on the left, And basically it's an iPhone stand, which I'll show you in a minute. So it made it out of cardboard to see if the idea would work. And then we iterated it with some more cardboard design, super cheap, because we didn't know anything about product design. Probably still, I don't, you know. So, and then we cut it out of plastic and acrylic, and then you get a tool made and all this kind of stuff. Or an SLA, then you get a tool made. And eventually you arrive at the product. And what's interesting, the thing with this is, how this sort of curve that happened is like we went to extremes, and you know, does it need to be that big? Well, And actually, if you look at the two endpoints, they're very, very similar. So they're basically, I'm saying it was wasted months. Great. Right. Why don't we just make that cardboard one out of plastic, idiot? So, oh yeah. Right. So, and the same can be said for, as a designer, we've got to constantly question ourselves. And what might have, these screens are really dark, I apologize. My laptop's screwed, I think. We've got to constantly question ourselves and as I said before, iterate. And I always hated the plastic. I mean, plastic bags are evil. And so I hated the fact that we had a plastic bag. And then you've got all this kind of noise around the products that isn't doing anything. And we tried to replicate, you know, let's make it look like an Apple product, because then when we're in the Apple store, you know, we'll see it and they'll want it and all. Bullshit. We are not Apple. We realize that we are not Apple. We kind of lost a bit of personality with that. I'm not Steve Jobs. And so this wasn't right. So we had to address that. So when we were doing the iPhone 4 version, we just thought, wouldn't it be cool if it was like, you can't really see it, but it was in a matchbox type thing. And of course, what that gave us as well was, one, it was cute and it had brand personality and you just wanted to hold this thing. I have some with me, so if you can persuade me, I've got some freebies. And it just want to touch it and hold it in the way that you never wanted to do with the plastic bag version. And everything about its being is there for a purpose. So what you can do, you can push it up and instant stand for retail display. So we couldn't stand the plastic bag one up. It had a Euro slot in it, but now we've had a display and we could display the colours and it was kind of built in and we wrote a little message on the side when you pop it up, those kind of things. And so I'm super proud of that, but I'm also proud of it because it's recyclable, you can reuse it, it's a box. People just want to keep the box. And what this has now, and I think this is very, very important for a brand or a product or website or whatever, it has the capacity to be loved. Okay? This is why you love certain things and why you don't love certain things. There's an X factor. You can't really put your finger on it, but there's something about it that makes you go, ooh. It's like when you make a connection with a person. So it's the same thing. And then I didn't do this, but this is, to me, one of the best pieces of packaging design I've seen in the last 15, 20 years. This is a jam box by Jawbone. So has anyone got a jam box, you lucky gets? No? Yeah, right. So jam box is a wireless speaker, connects to your iPad, whatever, iPhone, etc. And it's a really beautifully designed thing. Now, I love this packaging because it's really arrogant. Okay, so think about it. You're designing this, you've got this sexy new product and you want to show this product. So the first thing you do, right, well, we'll have a picture of the product on the box. No, we're not going to do that. Oh, right, so we're going to be really minimal. No, we're going to show a completely different product on the box, right? And we're going to say, that is shit. Right? Personally, I don't think the shit, but you know, they're trying to be ultra modern. And so what they did with the box and the packaging was they told a story. They had a narrative. By getting this box, they were just like, we know this product is awesome and you've bought it, so therefore you're awesome. And we know you don't want this. This is old. Why do we keep making things based on old, on historic things? Frank Gehry once said, the architect, the reason Frank Gehry lives in LA is because there's no sense of history. He loves it. You know, it's like, it's stuff's modern. It's like modernism with texture. But Frank Gehry, that's why he lives in LA. You know, you don't get any sense of history. And what these guys are trying to destroy history. So that was then, this is now, hello. And it's just beautiful, beautiful, simple. Doesn't even have the bloody product name on the box. I'm not sure if it's wrapped in something anyway, you know, outside of that. But I just love that narrative that is going on when you you go, what is this? That is then, right, this is, and it's revealed, this two-step process. It's everything that, you know, Andy was talking about in film, and it's really, really important. But, and it's just pieces of cardboard. That's all it is, and we've got a beautiful narrative going on. So I have no idea where I am with time, but it says I've got 16 minutes. I must have gone on for 10. So I'll show you this. And this is, I'm showing you this because this is an important thing about brand as well. And again, it's all to do with the quality and filtering out things. So this is a little, just a little project that I did called Whilst I Was Sleeping. And the idea is that I've had one of these Pogo printers that connect over Bluetooth, and the little Polaroid things. And you can print these little snaps, and they come out, and they're really cute and tiny, and you can only do 10 at once, but you can communicate with it over Bluetooth. So what I did, because I haven't got any friends, I found a way to write an Apple script that could send an image. So you drop it in a folder, and it would send images to this thing remote, you know, on its own. So I thought, oh, that's cool. And then I thought, I started using Instagram like we all have. And I thought it would be interesting that if I could write something where on a Sunday morning at 2 a.m., my computer goes onto this thing called the internet. I don't know if you've heard of it. And it goes to my Instagram feed, and it gets the 10 latest pictures from the people I'm following, and it automatically prints them and drops them in this brown paper bag. Brown paper bags, by the way, are genius. There is an article about why brown paper bags are brilliant and what went into make a brown, flat-bottom brown paper bag, not the other crap. I'm on about flat-bottom brown paper bags. They're amazing. So I love brown paper bags. I've been collecting them. And so, seriously. And so, and it drops these photos in. So what happens is that I wake up on a Sunday morning and I go to my bag. Sorry. I go to my bag and I peer in. And because it's at 2 a.m. in the morning, these might have gone past in my feed, you know, from following people all over the world. And these photos are in there, hopefully, if everything works. Basically, the Pogo sort of Velcroed to the bottom side of a shelf. And, yeah. It's like Wallace and Gromit, my house. only with a severe lack of cheese. And then, you know, you can drink your espresso like a twat. And look through them. Look through the pictures. Okay? And wonder who took them. And it's a lovely, nice surprise. So, and I kind of like, to me, it's romantic. But it's using the web in an interest. To me, I call this web design because I'm using data from the web. I'm just trying to bring it into the living room a little bit more. But basically, I'm into making. That's the point. Is practicing the craft of making is very, very important. It doesn't matter what you do. You're going to bring all this stuff together in whatever medium you're currently working in. But then here's the point I want to make about brand. So Instagram's lovely and fluffy, and it's, you know, it's, we all love it. And it's, oh, it doesn't say take a photo. It says share, because I'm a beautiful sharing person. And, you know, you do all this and it's, oh, lovely. I love you, Instagram. You're ace. And then, so I emailed them. I've made this thing and I think it's a little bit awesome. So I'm not American, by the way. So I think, you know, I'll email them. It says contact them on the site. And then like a cleaver in my fluffy dreams, my unicorns and rainbows, comes a freaking ticket response from Instagram. Horrible. Right, so my impression of Instagram is lovely and fluffy and really, it's beautiful and they care about every single user. Ticket! Get to the back of the queue, dick. So now, actually, the way they've worded this is actually okay, but my first thing is like ticket response, and I went, oh, God, that's a bit rubbish. Now, I understand that they've probably got thousands of people emailing them and they've had to implement a system, but I'm pretty sure, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk does a video where he has a personal video, and if you email him, he sends this video back, and it's kind of like a ticket response, but it's not. It's just a bit more personal. So I'd love them to be able to change that. It just kind of felt off from a brand point of view. So I love making things, and this is where it's at for me now. Like I said, the craft of making, very, very important. I don't care what I'm making, or it's all part of the mix. So I basically built the future in my dining room over the last 3 days. And so this is a MakerBot, and it basically is a 3D printer. You can buy these from, there's a company called NYC Resistor, which is a hackerspace in Brooklyn, and they will sell you this for about the price of a good laptop. You spend 3 days building it, and you download designs or make designs in Google Sketch or whatever, and you print objects. It's amazing. So I only just got this working the other day, but it works like this. Exciting, eh? I'm printing a beer mat right now. So what happens is, you know, this was just like a test cube thing. So this is like the first thing I printed on it. And you can see, and it's bonkers. And it can do like 10 by 10 by 10, 10 mil, you know. So anyway, so you see it's making a cube. And then the coolest bit, and the thing, it's called the Thing-O-Matic. The coolest bit, it's got a conveyor belt. It gets stuck here, and then it goes, ooh, right. Thing in your hand, right? How amazing is that? It's like, download design off internet, it then materializes in my hand. Freaking hell, the future is here. You know, I'm serious. Because, so this is now, so, you know, it's not meant for mass public consumption. You know, you can't go to Comet today and buy it. But if you want to make this, it's there now. There's a site called Thingiverse. And, you know, so think about this for a second, what this means. Is that instead of going to the shop, you need a bottle opener. You don't go to the shop. You go online, download it, print it. Half an hour later, you got a bottle opener. No delivery. You laugh, but no delivery, no fulfillment, no packaging. No. So this is, I believe this is going to impact on us, you know, in some sectors quite massively. And, you know, I'm talking a few years before they're sort of good. And, you know, it's kind of rough as well. So that's very exciting. So I've got, I think, a few minutes left. I just want to finish with this because I've not really shown any web design. And I do want to show you something. I got permission off the client to show you this. It's just a prototype that we've been working on. I don't think it's going to blow your mind by any stretch of imagination, but I want to show it. So Arup are an amazing company. They built the Bird's Nest Stadium, Sydney Opera House, the Water Cube in Beijing. Yeah, I mean, they're just insanely brilliant. And we're very lucky they approached us and just wanted to work with us on some stuff, some interface stuff. This is why I like them. This is Cecil Bellman. He leads a kind of experimental group within Arup. We wanted to break the traditional continuous sight lines of a bridge to create a structure that provokes exploration and questioning of accepted practices and methods. All right? Don't we all want to do that? Now, he's talking about this. Okay? This is a bridge. I've shown this. I keep showing this thing because I think it's brilliant. So this is a bridge in Portugal that Cecil Bellman was involved with and designed. So what he's talking about, so normally bridges go from A to B in a straight line. That's what bridges do, yeah? You know, they're efficient things. No room for fun, okay? Get me from here to there, that's what we do. And Cecil thought, this is what he wanted to do. So he put a kink in the bridge that you kind of have to walk around halfway across. It's not there for a reason. It's just kind of a bit whimsical. And, you know, his idea is, who might you meet as you navigate that corner? You might bump into your next wife or your next lover or whatever. And it's beautifully romantic. And also, you know, just very different. You're supposed to do a bridge like this. And he went, nah, let's put a bendy bit in it. Okay. As long as it doesn't go like that, then that would be insane. But it's just subtle. It's lovely. So I want to finish with this. Well, we'll see. If the Wi-Fi doesn't work, you ain't going to see jack shit. But just pretend it was awesome. Oh, here we go. So they came to us and said, look, we want to tell the Arab story to a wider public, but we want people to bump into things. They don't really know, they might not know what they're looking for. How can we create something? And they wanted an interface that was pretty abstract. They really wanted us to play with this stuff. And so my first thing was, right, we ain't building this in Flash, because, not because I don't like Flash, it's because I wanted it to run on an iPad, an iPhone, and we wanted to, there's a time to experiment with all this, where this stuff's going, Canvas and SVG and that kind of thing. See a lot of Canvas and SVG type experiments, and they're just, there's some amazing stuff out there, but we wanted to make something that was usable and real. So we started to play around, I would draw out something in a sketchbook and then give it to people who are much more clever than me, and you go, make that work. Can we have this? So started thinking about trees and that kind of stuff. So we had this kind of thing. This is all in SVG, and it's, it makes tree structures. It's not interactive. And then there's things like this. So I have to find this thing. It's all very exciting. So, ooh, nodes, yeah. Whatever, Bren, thanks for coming. Right, so. So the problem with nodes, any kind of node structure, is things start to bump into one another. So Gary at our place, who's like this boy, I keep calling him the boy genius, he's 25. But he looks young, so younger. So he made this thing where it kind of searches for the outside edge. You can see that we're getting somewhere, but it's I don't know how usable this would be and that kind of thing. And then we did a tangents nav. I'm not sure what this one was. Oh, that was good. That went down well in the pitch. And then we did this insane map where we did a 15-hour render of a map, and then we used the Google API to zoom in on that map, but it was just too confusing. So anyway, I'm running out of time. I will show you what we finally ended up with. So this was like a mock-up web page of the current Arup website, and it might be like, explore more about that subject. So we've gone into National Aquatic Center, and some things aren't loading, I think, but so we've got like these nodes, and there's supposed to be nodes on here, but I think it's taking ages to load. But imagine, if you will, there's nodes at the end of that. It's still actually loading stuff. But here we go. So you can view this thing, and you can view these projects. You can add it to a PDF. Now, I think hopefully this brings it back round to the point that Dan was making and lots of other people, that edges are so last year. A site, there are no edges, there is no page, and I'm just doing this properly, but the colour coding on this, and we've got to work on this, it's too abstract at the minute, but it actually tells you how things relate to one another, one's infrastructure, one's transport, I can't remember really. But the idea is, it's kind of playful, and this is all SVG, it's not Flash, which means you can zoom in and out. Woo! And then, stuff like that. So I'd like to see more stuff like this. I'm not saying all websites should be like this, but I think this is where an interesting area. Andy Clark once mentioned that we don't design web pages, we design systems. And I'm very much into designing systems like this, ecosystems. And I think with the new tools we have available to us, this is a very, very exciting time. I'm going to leave you with one last quote. This is genuine. This was woman who was getting past me on the seat, and I was in her way, and she wanted to sit by the window, and she said, it's always good to sit by the window and to look around us. And she didn't say this bit. it's great we've got to observe and look and take all these things that we see, filter all the bad stuff, use all the good stuff, and make less, but make better. Thank you very much.